Wingers, welcome into Winging It, presented by Wingman of the Year. Now let's get ready to wing it.
All right, welcome into Winging It, presented by Wingman of the Year. We got Max, as always, and we got Jerry. Jerry, you are a YouTube food connoisseur. Is that how you would explain it? Or
yeah, I guess so. It's really hard to put it in a box, but I do reviews and I do recipes. So if that makes me a connoisseur, if that makes me an expert, I don't know what it makes me, but I like to eat. So
okay, hey, I think we all like that here. But Jerry, I got a bone to pick with you right off the bat. I don't want to wait till the end of the episode. I DM'd you on Instagram and you never got back to me, man.
Oh, really?
But you messaged Max back.
He knows that our food energy bonded through. That's what I'm rolling with.
I'm gonna go with maybe your message looked spammy, or maybe Instagram never showed me, because you know how Instagram rolled out that primary versus like filtered.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal primary, is. Yep.
So I don't know. I genuinely didn't see it. So if you're miffed by that, I apologize.
Oh, it's all good, man. I just was wondering if there was some discrimination against the skinny guys over here.
if it is, you can blame Meta for that.
Okay, we're going to blame Meta. Let's do that. Zuckerberg, you fucked up. So let's get into your content. You do a shit ton of food stuff. What's the most memorable food material you've made or content you've made?
That's a really good one. So I've been doing food content online for about 12 years now. I used to write a blog called DairyX.com. If I had to say the most memorable thing, it hasn't happened in the YouTube era since I started that about three or four years ago. I actually was, this Max is probably familiar with this place. So do you know the Cambridge Hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So Gordon Ramsay did a makeover of the Cambridge Hotel around 2013.
Yes, and, I vaguely remember this.
Yeah. So I had signed up to be a guest at the restaurant before, and his crew was all in there filming and everything. And so we were there. We thought we were going to be part of the show, but Gordon never showed up that night. So, but around that time, I was thinking about actually getting engaged to my girlfriend at the time. So I was like, you know what? Let me call the place. The girl who runs the place seemed like nice people. And I booked the room that they made over. It was for a show called Hotel Hell. So long story short, they made the episode, and it kind of now has a little bit of a legendary status with respect to the, our relationship. We got engaged on the balcony there overlooking Cambridge. So there's ties to it. That's probably the most memorable thing. As far as video stuff, I don't think I've done anything that's been super memorable. I've just been on this hamster wheel of just trying to make cool stuff and keep getting it out there. So waiting for that big, big thing to happen.
Well, that's the name of the game, is making cool stuff. That's what we try to do over here. We're all over the place. You know, Max has done some food stuff in the past. We want to dive into it a little bit more. So that's why we're like wanted to talk to you, because you're a local Albany guy. So it makes sense. So, but let me ask you, because I know Max has got 8 million questions for you. This is like, he's been waiting for this episode. What's the best chicken sandwich in Albany?
So this is actually a point of contention. So I've been making these chicken sandwich videos, and I've done about 20 of them so far, including the fast food places and the local places. I've only done about a handful of local places. So admittedly, I need to get around to more local places. However, I recently made it up to Hattie's, which everybody says is like the best chicken sandwich out there. And I had the Nashville style chicken sandwich, and I wasn't really a fan. I think, because I also tasted my wife's, she had the regular chicken sandwich. I think that the way that they dipped the Nashville, it just made it a little bit bitter or something. I don't know what the deal is with that, but I didn't think Hattie's was all it was cracked up to be. When I reviewed a place called Elusive in Rensselaer, they have what I thought was an amazing chicken sandwich. There's like maple candied bacon on it. cheddar cheese. It's on like a homemade brioche bun. And a couple of people who saw the video went there and were like, you know, we really didn't think the chicken sandwich was that great. So, you know, a lot of it is with these reviews from anybody, you know, you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt. What I experience on one day might not be what you have another day.
Right.
And what I like won't be what you like. So I could present what it is. I could present my feelings on it. But at the end of the day, I can't tell you what you like. So,
okay. All right. Well, I'll take that. I want to try both those places. Well, let me ask you then. Let's talk about national chains and their chicken sandwiches. What's the best and what's the most consistent? Because you said you can get a chicken sandwich on the wrong day. Who's got the most consistent chicken sandwich and who's got the best tasting?
Okay, that's another good question. I can't answer consistent, and I'll tell you why. There's a specific reason, and a specific reason why I kind of slowed the chicken sandwiches down. I'm so tired of eating chicken sandwiches, and I haven't gone back to any of them twice. So I can't answer consistent.
Okay.
If I had to guess, I would say either KFC or Popeyes are probably going to be the most consistent because they're the most well known for it. As far as the chain chicken sandwiches, and this is another point of contention, I think the Burger King Chick-King, it has been my favorite.
Okay.
Interesting.
Now I have this jotted down on my notes of things to do. So hopefully none of your listeners are content creators that are going to steal this idea, but supposedly there's a myth on the internet about how the chicken sandwich at Burger King is the same chicken sandwich as Popeyes because they're owned by the same parent company. What I was going to do was like an in-depth analysis. I bought a light box and I was going to do like side by side and like do comparisons of the chicken That's sandwiches awesome. And kind of dig into whether that's true or not. My personal feeling was when I had the Chick-King, it was better than Popeyes. But a lot of people have had the Chick-King and said that they didn't like it as much. So it might be another one of those things where it's like, you like is not what everybody likes.
Yeah. Everybody likes something different. Does Chick-fil-A play at all here?
So yeah, we went to Chick-fil-A. Now in our area, you know, we don't have one except for in the airport yet. So I had to drive out to Chicopee, Massachusetts to have it. I really liked the chicken, but that day, for some reason, the buns they gave us were like literally crumbling apart. I don't like the fact that they don't sauce them up. I think they should put the Chick-fil-A sauce on it by default.
That's a good point. That could definitely help. Max, what do you got on this?
Yeah, so a couple interesting thoughts. As far as you comparing the Chick-King and the Popeyes, I have to have Popeyes to get like a valid taste, but the Burger King one is really solid, so I'll give you that. But the tinfoil hatting it with the companies, when Taco Bell brought out the chicken wings, I immediately thought these are just probably the same as the KFC ones with nacho cheese, right? That was where my mind was going. That was another one of those like corporate like sisters, so to speak, with food that's probably similar in the supply chain. Do you think that for that one? Do you think the chicken wings from Taco Bell were probably in like the KFC supply chain?
So is Taco Bell and KFC still under the same umbrella?
Yeah, they're under Yum. So it's still Pizza Hut Pizza Hut beat KFC and Taco Bell at least.
Okay. I thought they dissolved that for some reason, but maybe I was
off the look. Yeah. I'm wondering.
So I would say that, but at the same time, the nacho fries are not like anything that you could get at either of those places. So
true.
I don't know. I actually admittedly didn't have the Taco Bell chicken wings, so I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of them.
They came out for a hot minute about a month ago.
Super mid run.
That's like the McDonald's McRib and snack wrap.
Yeah. Well, Taco Bell's even worse with it because that was one of the first videos I made in the chicken sandwich war, because I'm like, they have what something called a chicken sandwich taco. It's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And I went the first weekend that they had it, and it turned out they didn't even make it right. I didn't find out until after I did the review. They just put it on a regular tortilla, but apparently they actually had a special bread that was like a folded bread. And I went back to go see if I could try it, and they didn't have it. And it was like not even 2 weeks later. So it's like, I don't get it. But it's as far as the wings, I think it's easy. I mean, sure, the wings could probably be the same source or whatever. But as far as like the seasonings, I'm sure if I had to guess, if you told me Taco Bell was making a chicken wing, I would assume it's just whatever seasoning that goes into their beef that like coating the wings. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. There had to be something where we just add a little dash of something. On a more technical question, because I have watched your videos and obviously I've watched a lot of other YouTube creators in this space. What's something that people don't really appreciate when you're trying to film content? More, not so much maybe reviewing food, but like cooking. Because I think it's a lot harder than people imagine to try to get all those angles when you're trying to make food like in your home kitchen.
Yeah. So that's kind of the struggle. And for a while last year, I hit a point where I was just making one cooking video and one review video per week. And it was getting to the point where I was burning out because the cooking videos took so much time to plan in terms of, okay, we got to get the ingredient shot and we got to get I got to talk about, I got to hit these certain points when I do it. I don't really script out, which I've been testing, doing different voiceovers and things like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as the format, those are so much more work than a review where like a review I could do pretty much linearly and I could, get the food, my initial reaction to opening the bag and unwrapping it, take a little bit of B-roll and then do the tasting. And I kind of have my checklist that I can go through in my head. Right. And it's kind of easy to get some B-roll that way. But with the cooking, it's, especially now that I'm doing multiple angles, it's a lot harder. So I'm going to take another quick break from that. Because most of those cooking videos, it's weird the way YouTube works. The review videos have kind of a short lifetime in terms of being on the YouTube homepage, but the cooking videos kind of have an even shorter lifetime on the YouTube homepage, but like months later get picked up in search. So like you almost don't know if something's going to be successful until like months later. Wow. Like I have a video right now that's kind of climbing out of the ether and it's how to cook Swiss chard, which was just a quick video that I filmed with some stuff my dad pulled out of the garden from his house a couple hours away. And I didn't expect the video to do anything. And meanwhile, it's like almost my top video on the channel. It's like the videos that I put a lot of work into aren't getting this kind of traction. So
wow. Always works.
It's a lot harder to film the recipes for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hunter was saying before the show that I had done a little bit of food stuff on my personal page on TikTok. I was doing I called it Munchies with Max, but I was going to restaurants and doing reviews and stuff. And I want to bring that back at some point, but it is like when you're doing a review, I feel like it's very linear, like in your approach, but with cooking, which I haven't even tried, but like the example that comes to mind is on Adam Ragusea's channel. He was talking about like how he like films a cooking. And he was talking about like, oh, like splatter and making sure your camera lens doesn't fog up and stuff you kind of take for granted. You're like, holy shit. Like, yeah, that has to be way harder than just like, oh, yeah, I'm eating food at this like table. As long as your lighting's okay, you could probably get through it.
Yeah. And he's kind of a madman, too. So like I noticed when he shoots, he's shooting super close. And I don't know if he has like lenses that are able to get him in that close. But like I am not comfortable putting my camera any closer than they are. I don't know what his deal is with that stuff.
Oh no, I see some of the angles that you do that you remind me of what he does a little bit in a good way. Like it's really cool. But there's some like you said, he gets super tight on his shot, and I'm like, yeah, what? He's really ballsing out here. That's actually a good segue for this, right? So there's a lot of YouTube creators that are in the cooking space and stuff, and obviously we have ones I've seen on like IG. You're liking similar posts. I'm like, okay, I see you, but. What is there any people you either like not imitate, but like are influenced by or stuff that you respect out there right now in the space for other creators similar to you?
Yeah. So, you got to kind of know the space and do the research and watch stuff. And I think all of my viewing habits have kind of shifted away from like regular television. I used to watch a lot of movies and I pretty much am consuming YouTube content. If I have any downtime. So I do watch a lot of creators in this space. I really like Joshua Wiseman's videos, even though they're kind of geared toward more of a younger crowd, probably your guy's age crowd. Yeah. But I think he does a good job. I think his part of what you have to do when you're making these cooking videos is kind of decide, are you going to make something that is actually instructional or are you just going to make something to flex? Mm. And that's kind of, everything he makes seems to be complicated to that level.
It really is.
And I even bought his cookbook. I think his cookbook's phenomenal and it's a lot more simple for, I would say, at least a third of it than what he typically does on YouTube. But yeah, I like him a lot. As far as reviewers, it's hard. Like I was watching, like, I go through kind of phases, and I try to let the YouTube recommendations take me through, you know, the stuff that it would think I would like, because they're the best thing at predicting, you know, what you'd like. I watched Dame Drops for a while.
Oh, yeah.
His videos got a little repetitive for me. Sam, the cooking guy, is another person I follow. Not another cooking show. The guy in Rockland County.
Oh, he's so good. He's underrated.
Yeah. Underrated. I mean, I don't know. He kind of blew up really quick. He went with like two or three videos back like 3 years ago. And he was like pulling small numbers, and all of a sudden started making those pasta videos and blew up. But yeah, he's doing pop-up dinners now in Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
So I like him a lot. My ultimate influence is Emeril and Guy Fieri. They're kind of what got me into, you know, doing the whole food content thing.
Yeah. You got to respect the kings right there. So absolutely. Yeah. No, not another cooking show. It's another good one. I'm going to butcher his name, but one guy I've been really vibing with lately, obviously I do like Joshua Weissman, but Ethan like Chabowski, he's a guy with like the redheaded mustache. Like what I like about his is that, unlike Joshua, because you know, you watch the flex, but I actually, you know, you like it, but you're like, yeah, there's no way in hell I'm going to let this like sit for 3 days in my refrigerator. Right. Like, but you watch, you're like, okay, this is interesting. Like, it's just sort of mellow for me. But with Ethan, what I've been liking is his seem to be very practical. Like, he's doing a lot of stuff like, okay, something you can crush in like 15 minutes on a weeknight. And there's some, I like that practicality. I'm like, okay. And they break down like every little layer. But yeah, no, that's the thing with some of the cooking shows. Like you said, some you're watching, you're like, yeah, I'm never going to make this. And then there's some where you're like, I'm bookmarking that. Like, shit, let me try that out.
Yeah.
Han, have you ever like dove into like any like YouTube food space at all? With, like any creators or anything?
No, I'm not into it as much as you guys are, obviously. But one that's come in the mind is that OnlyPans girl.
Oh, yes.
You know her, Jerry?
No.
Oh, she, well, some, Max and friend of the brand Tyler told me that she looks like my ex and sounds like my ex. So I don't know if that's where my fascination came from, but she's fucking adorable. Love her. And she, and it's a play on words of OnlyFans, but it's OnlyPans, and she's constantly making sexual references that are like, you know, like crazy puns and whatnot. But I love her. So
I can see that. I can see the appeal to that. On TikTok, who I really like is Alex from Tasty. You know her?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's super entertaining.
Yeah.
And like, she's been lately posting videos with her girlfriend, and it's just super cute. Mm-hmm. It's real. I mean, I think that's entertaining, but like, I haven't seen this OnlyPans girl. I guess I'll have to look.
Oh, you got to check her out.
Yeah, I'll share a link to you because it's pretty entertaining. It reminds me similar to Alex Traeger on like that kind of vibe from Tasty. So I can see what you mean. Yeah.
All right.
Jerry, let me ask you, what is it about food content that people get so obsessed with? What is it like that gets people hooked and like coming back for more?
So this is like a thing ever since social media, you know, it kind of started with the Food Network. And growing up, I worked in a specialty Italian deli, and we could see the shift happening. So like through the 90s, a lot of the stuff that we sold in my dad's store was stuff that you could really only get through specialty importers. And you would never see that at the supermarket. But as years went on, you know, my dad actually retired from his store about 6 years ago. My uncle ultimately closed it last year, not because of the pandemic, just because he's getting old and he needed to retire. But all of those things can be found at the normal supermarket these days. So I think between, you know, programming like Food Network, and that was kind of the start of making a lot of things quote unquote gourmet mainstream. And, you know, I think things like Instagram and stuff like that kind of started some food trend type stuff. Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives was a big driver, I think, for that. I think people just love to share what they eat, and it kind of creates trends, and you could see the waves. I mean, in like 2010, 2011, it was cupcakes, and then, you know, it moved. And then all of a sudden the cronut was a thing, you know, and you could see how these things, rainbow bagels. And it's like, you could really trace that all back to like Instagram, and then, you know, the current would be like TikTok. And that's, I think it just comes down to people just love to share what they eat, and people just sharing online all the time now.
Right. And then there's that like relatability aspect, because everyone's cooking. I mean, Max just upgraded my cooking life. He got me an air fryer for Christmas, and I'm cooking everything in that thing. So air fryers are the craze lately and whatnot. And he sends me one TikTok video of a recipe for an air fryer. I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing. And even me, and I actually hate cooking. I'm like, oh, I want to try that. But and then now it's in my algorithm. It's really fascinating just to watch that stuff. I don't know. It's like you just zone out watching that stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, they sell so many of those air fryers. All they are little ovens.
Yeah, I don't know. My oven looks like it will start a fire in the whole apartment complex.
Yep.
So I try to stay away from it. So that little air fryer is doing the trick for me.
There you go. It's awesome.
And it's great to tell girls that you got an air fryer. That's a hell of a conversation and starter and an icebreaker. Let me tell you.
The young girls love air fryers.
They do. They love talking about them. It's a wingman pro tip right there.
There you go.
Exactly. Max, do you got anything before we, I think we should probably move into our segment here.
Yeah. Just a couple of like little lighter things. One of the videos I know had a lot of traction on your account, Jerry, that I watched actually probably at my lunchtime today, earlier today, is your chopped cheese video. Do you think that chopped cheese videos, like chopped cheese, I mean, in general, is slept on?
Yeah. So I think as far as what it is, I would say, yes, it's slept on, but it is gaining some traction. In New York City, 10 years ago, chopped cheese, you could only get it in a couple places. As the internet kind of made it a thing, you know, now everybody, you know, Queens and everywhere is saying, you know, we started the chopped cheese and this and that. Meanwhile, everybody knew it started at Haji's in Harlem.
Right.
Right. As far as its ability to get out of, you know, that kind of ecosystem, I think it's something that's like the cheesesteak, you know. Somebody from Philadelphia will say what you're eating outside of there is definitely not a Philly cheesesteak. Mm-hmm. Where people try to imitate it. We had a chopped cheese place here in the Troy Kitchen or whatever it was called. It was actually called Chopped Cheeses or something. It lasted like all of a year, if that. I just think that because right before that, burgers was the thing. We ended up with Burger 21, Burger Fi, all those places that opened up. Mm-hmm. But as far as like something that's easy to make and build a business around, I do think it's slept on. I think more places should be offering that because it's such a simple thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're making burgers, you can make a chopped cheese.
Oh, exactly. Do you know what a chopped cheese is, Hunter? Or for the fans? Okay, I'll tell you. So basically it's you take ground beef and then you chop it up like in like little bits, similar to like a sloppy Joe, but just the meat. And then you put cheese on it. So that's why it has similarities to a cheesesteak. And then you put like lettuce, tomato. I've seen green peppers and onion sauteed, and then ketchup, mayo, and it's on like a hoagie roll. So it's similar to like a cheesesteak, but it's like, yeah, a little more vegetables, ground beef instead of sliced thin steak. But Jerry's absolutely right. A lot of these kitchens and stuff, if they're making burgers already, they have all the ingredients. So you're only really changing is just, okay, we're putting on a long roll. And you kind of, it's not too much different of a concept. I've made them at home, but I want to go to like a genuine place someday, like down Harlem or something. I definitely want to try like a true like chopped cheese at some point.
Yeah, me too. I specifically want to try out Haji's just because that place looks so good. But there's also that guy, and I forget what the name of it is. It's called the Aki Way. Have you seen those videos on TikTok?
Oh yeah, TikTok.
I want to go to that place at some point too. Oh,
absolutely. I have to send you some of those, Hunter. Like literally anything. They'll be like, oh yeah, can you make this sandwich on like honey buns? And he's like, sure. And it's just
that's awesome.
Oh,
love a good honey bun.
His TikTok, he had just a bodega. I think it's in Brooklyn, I think. And it just grew like on TikTok, it just grew into a life of its own, and like it was a family store. It's really cool to see what the internet can do with anything, but especially like these food trends.
You can make content around anything, man. It's crazy.
You really can. The last little thing I have, and then we'll go into our top five here, is right. So like chopped cheese, we're just talking about. I think right now another food trend is like Cheeto crusted stuff, right? Like that's super hot. What do you see? Do you know like what you think the next wave might be for food trends? Because you were talking about like rainbow bagels. That's what made me think of it.
Yeah. I wish I could predict that because I'd be on top of the content right now.
Yeah.
I really don't know because Flamin' Hot like was a thing for a while, and then all of a sudden it wasn't a thing. One of the videos that kind of discouraged me from doing cooking videos for a while was I made flaming hot chicken parm, and it literally, like, the sauce was hot, was spicy. The cheese was spicy. I did like a flaming hot crust. And that video got no traction. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, people just aren't going to cook that and there's no interest there. I should have known that before, but it took forever to make. But yeah, it's I wish I could predict that, but I don't know if I had to guess. I think we're ready for another dessert wave. I don't know, maybe like brownies with shit on top of it or something. I don't know.
I love brownies, so I would be so here for a brownie one. My prediction, it's going to be a little off kilter, but I think the next wave that might happen is almost like guacamole or avocado alternatives. The reason I see this, I saw a TikTok, and I guess there's like this issue with avocados in Mexico right now, and there's cartels where they actually like are blocking all like the imports that go to the US, and that's like 80% of like the avocado like grown for us is in this area. It's like a drug cartel, but just for avocados. One of the, up in Burlington where I live, you know, I live in the state of Vermont, but up in Burlington, there's this vegan restaurant. It was on Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives. And they were talking about how for their Crunchwrap, they made this avocado alternative. And at first I was super confused. Cause I'm like, why are you making an avocado and like a guac alternative? Like that's vegan. And it was because of like, it's like not fair trade. And I didn't understand this. And I saw this other article a few months later. So I wonder if there'll be any sort of like using peas to make guac, anything obscure like that. That's the only thing I'm curious about. If there's going to be like a guacamole shortage or something. I hope not. I love guac, but yeah.
You just gave me a good idea. So like, but the, my top performing videos, like two of my top five are how to cook peas. So I might, maybe, really? Maybe I'll develop something like that.
I'll find the video because they use peas and like cashews for like this guac, and like Guy Fieri was loving it.
Okay.
Yeah. Really random offshoot, but yeah.
Okay. I could see that. I mean, I heard about that cartel thing. It's screwed up. I don't know what the deal is there.
So weird. Like, you know, there's all these things happening in the world, and you wouldn't think like you have to feel guilty about avocado consumption. It's like, okay.
Yeah. But you know what? You guys don't seem like the kind of guys to be like eating avocado toast and shit like that.
No, I mean, I'll get a scoop of guac at Chipotle, but that's about
it. Yeah, the- yeah.
Let's do the Winging It Top 5.
Winging It Top 5. What's your top 5?
Did you know that this is one of my top 5 favorite bars?
All right, so who wants to... Jerry, we're going to do a snake draft, okay? And this is a Winging It Top 5 on... the best appetizers, because appetizers, they're the wingman of food, you know, like they come out first, they hold you over until the entree comes out. Okay, so appetizers, the ultimate wingman at the dinner table. So Jerry, we're gonna do a snake draft. Do you want to go first, second, or third? Do you know how snake draft works?
No, I don't. Admittedly, I'm old. I don't know.
Okay, so let's say Max goes first, I go second, and you go third. You okay. Also get the fourth pick, then I would get the fifth. Okay. And then Max would get two picks. Okay. So it's
kind of like a zigzagging pattern.
Yeah. Okay. So you'd get the three and the four, and then like the, I don't know, like the eight and nine or some shit.
I'll go third.
Okay. Okay. I like that. The turn's a good spot. All right. So Max, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second. I'll give you the one spot here.
Okay. Perfect. I'm going to go with the best go-to appetizer there is. Can't miss. I sometimes even get it as an entree. It's such a good fucking appetizer. Boneless wings. I'm just going to go boneless wings.
Ooh, that's a hot take. So not bone in, boneless.
I'm going boneless. Yeah, because I might be pandering here, but, you know, sometimes people put on their, like, on their menu, they got, like, boneless wings, but it's just, like, fucking chicken tenders and fucking sauce. So girls love their chicken tendies, but, I mean... I don't know if you'll kind of give me both, or I don't know, but I'm just going to go boneless wings.
Okay.
I can get behind the boneless wings for sure. I personally don't like sitting in a restaurant eating bone-in wings unless I'm like hanging out with a bunch of guys. So I'm more
like
about
bone-in wings. It's just, I really don't like the mess all the time. I mean, yeah. Sometimes they hit different, but.
Exactly.
You know what would be a life hack is boneless wings, but they use dark meat. That you'd kind of get into a pocket where you get like the best of both worlds. Cause a lot of times, you know, the boneless, you know, wing is like a chicken breast. But okay, we'll give you that one. And I had chicken wings, but in fairness to this, I will not use that one. So my number two pick in this draft may not be the thing I go to all the time, but it's probably the ultimate wingman appetizer, right? I'm going to go with nachos. Nachos is like that ultimate share food, very customizable. And
the shareability, man.
Oof. Shareability. Lots of shareability in nachos. That's going to be my two slot here.
Oh, and wings are a wingman thing, too. So I think boneless and bone-in wings should be separate. So that I think that's still on the table. Somebody wants
okay,
that.
Okay, fair.
That right. So on the nachos thing, it's also something that you can get at almost any restaurant. Have you ever had the, I forget what they call it, at Delmonico's in Albany? It's like fried pasta chips, but done like nachos. So they have like Alfredo sauce, olives, chopped up sausage, and it literally is the nacho experience, but with these Italian ingredients.
No, that sounds amazing.
It's insane. It's probably one of the top five greatest like specific appetizers of all time. But I'm going to fit that into the nacho category.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'm up.
Yes.
Yep. You got the three spot here.
You need the next two.
So any appetizer sampler that you see out there is always going to have this one on there. In our area, there are actually multiple dippers that you can use for this. The mozzarella stick. And
he's talking about the Melba.
You know, you could do the Melba. You could do ranch. You know what I mean? Mozzarella sticks can go with anything. For those that don't know, Melba in kind of the capital region, I think it does actually spill into Vermont a little bit there, Max, is like a raspberry sauce. You know, depending on where you get it, some places like a jelly, some places it's more like a compote. But it goes really well with mozzarella sticks, despite what you might be thinking right now. But mozzarella sticks is my pick there for.
I think that is definitely worthy of a top or first round pick. And let me just say, Melba sauce is, oh my God. I can't believe it's just like a regional thing up here.
That's really slept on.
Yeah, Melba sauce is slept on. It's like, oh my God, it's amazing.
People outside here, like you'd be like they see raspberry and they're like, what the hell?
Like,
I remember
jelly?
Seeing it for the, I grew up just 2 hours away from here and we had never heard of anything like that. When I came up, so I went to Siena College 25 years ago. And when we came up to look at the school at Scoobers was right down the road from Siena. And that, and we ate there because it was like the only place that we could actually get food quickly. And I tried the mozzarella with raspberry and I never even get marinara anymore. I only get Melba. But people from outside of the area, even just a little bit south, have no idea what it is. It's insane.
Exactly. It's wild. All right. So what do you got for the four spot now?
All right. So I'm up for number four. So this I'm gonna kind of pivot everything here. I actually posted this on my YouTube community channel the other day. You could do polls. So I said, what's a better appetizer? And we went literally 180 degrees. So the first pick was mozzarella sticks. The second pick was shrimp cocktail. So I'm going to go with shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail. Okay. I didn't see that one coming. All right. Yeah, all right.
Good one. I love shrimp cocktail. That's good. Okay.
All right, Max, what do you got for the five spot coming back to you?
Okay. I'm going to really do a curveball because I think no one's talking about this, but this is a very attractive appetizer. I'm going to go a little east here. Pan fried dumplings is a prime appetizer. Dumpling. Prime.
You mean like Chinese food dumplings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like classic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Max, it is a good one. Max, do you think you could have got that one in the later rounds, though?
I could have, but I wanted to hold it down. I wanted that to be, like, my thing. So.
Okay. Hey, I'm just saying, because we're going to put up a graphic, Jerry, just so you know, and we're gonna have people vote on who they think's got the best list here. So this is a competition. So
okay. All right.
Don't pull your punches. So I'm up now, right? I get back-to-back?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go fried pickles. I'm glad that one didn't get stolen. That has got to be on there. Oh, my God. You can get fancy with those sauces, too, and whatnot.
So spears or coins?
I like the coins.
Okay.
Because you just, like, mindlessly eat them. You know what I mean? Like, they're like a bag of chips.
Yeah, and also, like, when you get the spears, it's like you're biting through, like, chewy water.
Yeah, right? And they kind of, like, fall out, too, sometimes. So, yeah, the coins are the way to go.
I agree 100%. I'm glad we're all coin gang here.
So I'm in a dilemma now on what I want to pick. I got some good ones on this list, let me tell you. Just want to make sure it doesn't get stolen. Might be able to get in later rounds, but I can't let this one slip by. Poutine. I'm drafting it now. Poutine is off the board, guys. Okay.
Can we count that? Is that an appetizer?
I always thought it was.
I would. It's true. Up in Canada, it's very meal-centric. It is very meal-centric.
I just recently went to a place in Schenectady. You do see it on a lot of appetizers things, but I went to a place in Schenectady and it was there. It was very shareable. I mean, people love French fries, cheese curds. Oh.
I mean, I'm fine with it. It's your listeners that are gonna, you know.
Historically, you have a debate here. You are right, Jerry. Historically,
We'll put it up on a poll when this goes. Is poutine an appetizer? So we'll write that one down. All right. So Max, back to you. Coming back down.
Okay. I'm gonna get a little creative here. Okay. Yo, actually, this one has not been touched. I'm gonna do this one. Jalapeno poppers.
I knew he was gonna do that.
I was originally gonna go somewhere else, but I'll do jalapeno poppers. It's solid. Another thing you can dip in Melba. That's something that's kind of slept on, but if you wanted to. That. Quick Melba story. When I was a kid, I loved having sweet potato fries at George Washington Tavern, and I didn't realize that was with Melba. And then, like, when I left the area to try that elsewhere, I just assumed like a raspberry sauce was normal with sweet potato fries, and it's not. And it's like disheartened me every time until I like have that experience again. So. Had to add that piece.
All right, Jerry, I think you're up with another two picks.
Okay. So I'm gonna put one that I think could technically be two, but I think for the sake of argument, fried onion / onion ring / bloomin' onion, I would say.
Let's count it as one. I think that's in the same wheelhouse there.
Yeah, so any kind of fried onion thing, because every menu has something like that. And the Bloomin', like Outback Bloomin' Onion, is one of the greatest appetizers ever, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a fucking hell of a pick right there. That one.
You get that silly sauce, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you what, that wasn't going to come back to you if you didn't draft it now. I'll tell you that.
Okay. So I got another one too.
Yep, you got another one, then Max.
Oh, shit. What happens if I can't come up with another one? I'll figure something out. Let's see here. Yeah, I guess I wasn't that prepared. I thought we were just doing five.
Yeah, five each. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it gets pretty tough. You can't do this with every kind of topic because there's not so many. Max, you got one ready on hand?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
We can maybe you could skip Jerry.
Yeah, skip me.
Okay. Yeah, you get the bonus. Where are we at? How many? This is gonna be my fourth, right?
Yeah, I know. I only got two more, so yeah.
Okay, perfect. So this one, I'm gonna go with pretzels with beer cheese. The soft pretzel with the hot cheese, you know, or a little mustard, depending on your thing. I feel like that's a good appetizer. That's kind of a more recent trend in the last 5 years. You know, that's not as hot until recently.
Right, right.
Good one.
Oh, that's a fucking really good one. I love a nice pretzel. So Jerry, you ready, or you want me to go?
All right. So yeah, we'll do on the Chinese theme, either spare ribs or boneless spare ribs.
Oh, okay. Good one.
Okay. All right. Now I'm up. So Jerry, you only need one more. You'll be the very last pick. So I got two here to finish it up. Got some decisions to take here. I'm going to go buffalo chicken dip. How about that?
Okay.
How about that?
Yep. That's a fair one.
Fuck. There's so many. I'm going to have some notable ones here too. I'm just gonna go for my. I'm gonna try to make this a hunter list and not like pander too much and go for those votes. I gotta go like stuffed mushrooms, man. They're so fucking good. I love mushrooms. Love them.
Stuffed mushrooms are good.
They are good. All right, Max. So you're up.
Okay, last one. You know, we can go a lot of different directions. You know, I could miss the mark on this, but. I'm going to throw a huge monkey wrench. I'm going to go green bean crispers.
Okay.
It was either that or I'll say my other honorable mention later. But yeah, one of those two. I'll do green bean crispers.
Okay. All right. And Jerry, we're rounding it out with you here.
Can I tell a quick story on green bean crispers?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
We ate at a place a few years ago that we ordered those. And the guy came out. It was a totally sketchy place. I'm not going to name the place. But he's like, you see those green beans that you're eating right there? And we're like, yeah. Well, he's like, I had to pay a guy outside of the back of a TGI Fridays to find out where they get those from. And we figured out where they get them. And we sell the same battered green beans as they do at TGI Fridays. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, and then like on the way out, we're like, we thought that was like a mom and pop place, like making their own stuff. Meanwhile, this guy's so proud that he stole their provider. All right.
That's wild.
I have two in mind. Garlic bread.
Okay. I'm amazing. Yeah, I was wondering if bread is like, I don't know, because it's like that free appetizer. I love it though. It is,
yeah, but like probably garlic bread. No, you usually have to
order. Oh yeah, you can get it like separate. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like either with cheese or without. The other one I was thinking was, which so we're cutting it off, but I was gonna say like loaded potato skins.
Yeah, I had that on here. This was an honorable make the
list. Wow, I'm surprised.
I'd rather eat garlic bread than loaded potato skins personally. So
okay.
Max, what else did you have for?
I was almost gonna do crab rangoons. I knew that had been such a weird one. I'm like, okay, let me just do green bean crispers, a little safer.
Some of the other ones I had, spinach artichoke dip, just chips and salsa or chips and queso. Mm-hmm. Max, don't you always talk about buffalo chicken wontons?
Oh, the Asian chicken wontons from like Applebee's or something.
Yeah, something like that. I thought it was Chili's. Yeah. Or what about just some regular sliders, some burger sliders?
That was another good one.
And the last one I had was pigs in a blanket.
That's a good one. That's like a at-home finger food.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah. I guess I was kind of thinking more like restaurant ones, but yeah, you're right. Like that one is an at-home one, and they are so fucking good. The little bite-sized things are the best.
You know what's a few years ago we figured out that like you can get them with everything bagel seasoning on them, and it's like a game changer.
Really? That sounds amazing.
It's so good.
That's what's up right there.
Yeah, sure. I got
wingman stories.
Dude, that's what friends do. Friends wingman each other.
So, Jerry, we are running out of time. So let's get into our next segment, our wingman story segment here. Brought to you by Clap Cleats. 15% off your order at clapcleats.com. Jerry, what is your wingman story?
All right. So I don't have a specific story, but I will say as far as being a wingman for people in restaurants, usually I'm good at doing the research ahead. So if you're going to come eat with me, I always say, number one, you stick with me, you're going to never go hungry. All right. So that's number one. But also like, if I tell you something probably isn't going to be good, I think that I come through on that promise. Everybody who I've ever given a warning to as far as ordering something like that has always been disappointed with what they had there. So that to me is the ultimate wingman tip. I've been off the, you know, dating table for a long time. So it's as far as being a wingman in that capacity, I haven't been able to do that. So I'm sticking with that. And that's my wingman story of the night.
No, I love it. It's unorthodox, but don't feel bad because we usually preface it that the wingman story doesn't have to be like relationship based and whatnot. Being a wingman to us is all about being a good person and making sure somebody doesn't go hungry. That sounds like a pretty damn good wingman to me. What about you, Max?
No, absolutely. But the bigger thing I think you brought up is the fact that you're steering people into good food. You know what I mean? Like they're not falling for these pitfalls where it's like plopped in the Turbo Chef and things are a little mid, you know, like you're giving that a top quality recommendation. So that's even bigger in its own right. So absolutely wingman certified. So
all right, so Jerry, where can people find you?
So you could find me on YouTube. My channel is my name, Jerry Papandrea. It's kind of hard to spell, so if you look up Dairy X, my YouTube channel will come up. If you look that up, dairyx.com is also there. I'm Dairy X on Twitter, Instagram, probably Facebook, Dairy X Dines on TikTok. I'm all over the place. Mostly active on YouTube though. So if you want to subscribe there, that'd be awesome. If you want to just watch the videos, also awesome. Glad to be there for you.
All right, wingers, you heard him. Make sure you're following Jerry on all his platforms.
Subscribe.
There.
It's worth it.
Yes, subscribe. Make sure you're subscribing to us, following us. And Jerry, last question before we get the heck out of here. I pulled up the DM that I sent you, okay? I replied to a story, so you might not have viewed it in a certain amount of time. So that might be why it didn't show up. Okay. But you were asking people to come on like a live with you. Okay. And I wanted to hop on it. So my question to you is, when are
we... Yeah, you there, Hot?
You just cut out.
Yeah, you froze out for a sec. Right at the kicker.
I was. It looked good to me. So when are we making content together?
Is my question. So let's say this right now. Number one, we're going to do some IRL stuff for real. You know, maybe we'll find some place up closer to Saratoga or something. Mm-hmm. We can get Max to come. He doesn't have to drive all the way down to Albany County. but yeah, we'll do something like that. And I put my lives on break for a little while, but you know, I'll have you guys on the live as well. And we'll kind of continue this discussion, you know, from the perspective of the YouTube thing. I mean, we talked probably more about food during this than I usually do during my lives anyway. So it'll be kind of a continuation of that. Again, sorry I didn't see that, but I genuinely...
No, you're good, man. I was just busting your balls.
It's all good, man.
All right, Wingers, make sure you're following them. Make sure you're following us. Fucking subscribe. Thank you for winging it with us. Until next time.
Peace. Let's go.